All right. Here's our last session together. We're turning back to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. Felt led to stay in one passage for the evening session, for the rally times. Straight from that for the adults, and we had our sessions during the day. John chapter 17. We say a word of thanks to whoever dropped off an anonymous gift bag today at our door. Thank you. You may not have known, but I love goldfish, so that was perfect for me. Thank you. And then I'm very thankful for all the camp staff and their helpfulness and just serving us and being so conscientious of needs. And I'm so thankful for each one that's been a part of ministering to us during camp. I want to thank you for being a good audience. I know it's been hard. And it's warm, and you're thinking in your head, when can I get to a place where there's a breeze, or some air movement, or where I can get a drink? But you've stuck with me. I appreciate that. Thank you for listening and giving your attention to God's Word. It has been a joy to minister to you, and I trust you leave with some important lessons from God's Word. And maybe they will leave your mind, but someday in the future, I've heard someone preach on this before. Oh yeah, that's what the Bible is teaching us. Be reminded by it in the future. John chapter 17, you might be wondering why I chose this portion of Scripture for a family camp, and I think I'll let the Lord Jesus answer it in his prayer here in verse number 13. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Why did Jesus even speak these things? Why in his prayer to the Father is he addressing the fact that these matters that he spoke of to them were important? Why is the will of God important for us? That we might have his joy. So many Christians are looking for joy and fulfillment in all different directions, and they've missed out on the fact that doing the will of God is the greatest place for us to have joy. They might have some happiness, temporary satisfaction from the things they're doing. The Bible tells us there's pleasure in sin, but it's for a season. It's short-lived. The real joy, God's joy, and I've circled that word, my joy. Jesus is saying it's my joy that you will have when you do the will of God. And that's what I want for you. I want you to have Christ's joy within your life, in your family, in your church when you go back to serve, that Christ's joy would be a part, would be filling your life and you'd experiencing the joy that the Lord Jesus Christ gives. John chapter 15, in verse number 11, Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. In chapter 16, verse number 24, hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Down in verse number 33, the same chapter, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Be of cheer. Have joy. Recognize that you can have peace by doing my will. God's will is for us to have joy. The Apostle Paul said this to the church in Rome in Romans chapter 15. Romans 15, verse number 13. There we read, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. God of hope fill you with joy. Do you understand that it is joy, God's joy, the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ that we are seeking, and it only comes through doing the will of God. So the first evening we considered the will of God is that all of us would know God personally. We also consider that the will of God for us is to bring glory to God. Are you bringing glory to God? The will of God is that we would live in unity. unified as a family, have unity through Christ with other Christians. It is God's will that we have unity. What was the first thing we considered last evening? Will of God for us is that we might, anyone? Flip back the page in your notebook. Look, you can cheat. You can look. If you took notes, overcome evil. Okay? The evil one, very specifically. God wants us living in victory. It's His will for us. Christians say, well, I just can't. God said it's the will of God for you to have victory. Remember, we live not for victory, we live from victory. The victory that we have in Jesus Christ. Tonight, this afternoon, we want to consider two other points. Oh, I forgot the next one. What was the other one? I just did point number one of last night's message. Point number two is what? Sanctified, set apart unto God. Good. So this afternoon, we'll go on in the passage of Scripture and look at verse number 18. There we read, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. He discussed earlier that we are not of the world, but we are in the world. And now we are sent unto the world. The will of God for the believer is that we take God's word to the world. The world in which we live needs to hear the message of salvation. They need to hear the message of God. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ is our model for this. We can never go wrong when we're following the Lord's example, when we're following Jesus' example. And He says here in verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world. Jesus was sent specifically for the purpose of seeing the world come to faith in God. Faith in God through believing in Him. In Luke 19:10, the Son of Man has come to what? Seek and to save that which is lost. Mark 10:45, even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. It's the will of God that mankind comes to faith in Christ, but that's not going to happen just by osmosis. You know, just put a New Testament on everybody's pillow and they're going to come to know Jesus as Savior. No, they need someone to share the gospel with them. And as God sent His Son to give the news to mankind, Jesus said, as I have been sent, so send I those individuals into the world. Jesus was very obviously on a mission. And He enlists His disciples in that mission, and He enlists us in that mission as well. We're expected to continue the same work that the apostles did, the same work that Jesus did in giving the gospel to the lost. Let me point out a unique parallel here, or a similarity between in John chapter 10, in verse number 36, if you hold your place in John 17 and turn over to verse chapter 10, verse 36. There's criticism that comes against the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse number 35, if he calls them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of Him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God. He was raising a question to them. But what I will draw your attention to is the order here. The Father hath sanctified His Son, and then He sent His Son. That was the same order in John 17 as Jesus prayed. Verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Sanctified, verse number 18, even so have I sent them into the world. Following the exact same pattern that was true for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to set ourselves apart unto God, that in that way we can now be sent ones to minister for the Lord Jesus Christ. We exist for a purpose, the purpose that Christ gave us in being sent out into the world as He was sent as a witness for Christ. It is the will of God that we witness for Christ, that we take the word of God to the world. As thou hast sent me, chapter 20, of John's record, he repeats this in verses 21 and following. Jesus would say it numerous times, but here in verse number 21 of chapter 20. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. As the Father has sent me, so send I you." We live in an area that's not too far from a little town in Pennsylvania called Tadami. Anybody familiar with the name Tadami? Have any of you read the biography of David Brainerd, who was a missionary among the Indians along the Delaware River? Tadami was the Indian that came to know Christ as Savior and was Brainerd's interpreter. He would travel with Brainerd up and down the Delaware River between Jersey and Pennsylvania, and he would give the gospel, and Brainerd needed someone to communicate with the Indians because they had their own language, and he used this man, Tadami. This town, Tadami, is named after this Indian who was the translator. Not too far from Tadami is another monument that is a monument to David Brainerd, the missionary. It is said that just a few hundred feet from that monument was the cabin in which David Brainerd, as a very young man in his late 20s, died of what was called back then consumption. He had given his life so much to reaching the Indians along the Delaware River that he didn't take concern for or wasn't careful with his own health. And so he got very sick and actually was in that cabin where he passed away. I've taken people there there's nothing but historical markers, but those are interesting. If you see them along the road in Pennsylvania, stop, look at them. You'd be amazed at how many of them have a significance to our Christianity and spiritual truth. We have a great history in Pennsylvania when it comes to those who've written songs, those who've been part of preaching endeavors, and so I have taken people there. But the testimony of David Brainerd, who worked there among the Indians on the Delaware, he said, "I care not where I live or what hardship I go through so that I can but gain souls to Christ. While I am asleep, I dream of these things. As soon as I awake, the first thing I think of is this great work. All my desire is the conversion of sinners, and all my hope is in God." We sort of understand, don't we, from his own statement, why his life came to a close the way it did at such a young age. He was allowing God's will to be his will. If it is the will of God that we take the word to the world, then we need to take steps to be a faithful witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. George Whitefield, the English evangelist, preached in an open field and could be heard by thousands without any of this apparatus that we work on and depend on. Said, "O Lord, give me souls or take my soul." I shared examples with you of individuals that have given themselves to doing the will of God, and we as Christians need to do the same. It wasn't that long after the day of Pentecost that those who were followers of Christ, the disciples, went from a time of fear. They didn't want to be even close to the Lord Jesus Christ for fear of what might happen to them, to the boldness that fills their heart and life after the day of Pentecost as they carry on the work of the early church. Let's be serious about doing the will of God and taking God's word to the world. Our last point this afternoon is found in verse number 24. What else is the will of God for us? Verse 24, "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." A final point in these messages concerning the will of God is that the will of God is that believers may be with Christ. That we may be with Christ. Now that, when I say it that way, may be, I'm not saying that it's possible, that hopefully, no, it is the will of God that we be with Christ, that we will spend eternity with Christ. The final point here is really the final outcome of our life lived here on this earth. We are not saved to stay here or to end our life here. It just is the beginning of an eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. And praise God for that great blessed hope, as Paul speaks. Blessed hope and glorious appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what does that tell us about our connection to this world? Our tie to this world needs to be very loose. And yet, a lot of Christians, they really get held by this world. They live for this world. That's what it's important to them. Oh, I got to take the next step up the corporate ladder. We got to have a better house. We have to have more enjoyment on our vacation. So let's go do this. Let's go do that. This world, everything here, that's what you live for. And the mentality of lost people has filled the minds of Christians. And yet the Lord says, my will for you is that you spend eternity with me. And that's why Paul said that we're just passing through this life. Our citizenship is in heaven. That's where you belong. That's where your citizenship is. I quoted the passage, or we looked at the passage yesterday about Peter's words. And they said, pilgrims and strangers. Well, what did he mean by that? We're just passing through this earth. We're strangers on this earth. This is not our home. So don't act like it's permanent. You're going to be here forever. All the material things that we can amass to ourselves. Oh, what a headache for the next generation to get rid of our junk. But we had to have it, right? We lived for it. We thought it was important. That's what makes life fulfilling. No, what's fulfilling about this life is that I have an eternal home. Lost people can't think that way. They can't speak that way. They're fearful of eternity. And yet Jesus said, my will is that you spend eternity with me. So we need to begin living on this earth as if we're heaven bound. We sing the chorus, this world's not my home. I'm just passing through with a couple of U-Hauls and all sorts of baggage and things that I'm hanging on to. No, no. That's not how you pass through this life. The will of God is to think with eternity in view, with what God has prepared for us. One day we'll be cut off from this world. We'll be severed from this world. Jesus spoke to us that way. He spoke that to his disciples just two chapters prior to it, three chapters prior, John 14. You've heard this passage. If you've been to any service for a funeral for a Christian, you've heard this passage. John 14, 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You see, Jesus was saying that, and then when he prayed to the Father, he prayed that we would do the will of God, which was to think about where our eternity is. Paul speaks of it in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 to 18. Wait a minute. Jesus spoke it, and now Paul comes on the scene, and he says the same thing. You know what that tells me? Paul believed what Jesus said. He said, well, that's inspiration. The Spirit of God told him what to say. Yes, the Spirit of God moved Paul to say the very things that Paul said. But it was in the heart of the Apostle Paul. He believed it. He was as convinced of it as if he had heard Jesus say it directly to him. So Paul speaks of that matter in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He speaks of it to the church at Colossae in Colossians 3, 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. That's where you're headed. That's the will of God. 2 Thessalonians 5, 8. Paul would say, we are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. All right, so what do we know about heaven? Not a whole lot. I'm just going to leave it with you that not a whole lot. I like the way the old Southern preacher Vance Havner put it. When someone asked him, what do we know about heaven? He said, there are a lot of questions that the Bible doesn't answer about the hereafter. And I think one reason is illustrated by the story of a little boy who was sitting down for a bowl of spinach when there was chocolate cake across the table. When I was young, I hated spinach. I like it much more now. But I can picture myself being like this little fella sitting at the table with a bowl of spinach in front of him and chocolate cake at the end of the table. Vance Havner said he's going to have a rough time eating that spinach when his eyes are on the cake. And if the Lord had explained everything to us about what's ours to come, I think we'd have a rough time with our spinach down here. If we knew so much about what heaven was going to be like, we would not let ourselves be lived and let ourselves be directed by the Lord in this way. We'd be just longing for heaven, longing for heaven. And I believe we need to long for heaven. But folks, we've got a job here to do. Jesus told us to occupy till he returns. And we need to serve the Lord in the light of the fact that we will be eternally with the Lord. One thing that's definite about our time in heaven, that 24th verse of John chapter 17 makes it clear as to what will occupy our time, our enjoyment, what will be precious to us. He says there in the middle of the verse, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. We know what we'll be doing in heaven. We know what will be precious. To see the glory of God in its fullness, to experience it personally. The word see gives the idea of observing something. You know, we could be out over by the lake and say, do you see that over there? And, yeah, I see that. I said, now, really, observe what I'm pointing to. Focus on it. Look at it for a while. Let's really contemplate what I'm pointing out to you. What Jesus is saying here is we will behold, we will observe for the first time ever the glory of God. We see it now darkly as in a glass, when Paul says that in 1 Corinthians 13. That's how we have our sight today is obscured. It's only partial, but when we get to heaven, we'll fully see the glory of God. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, our conversation is in heaven. From whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Simply stated, you're a citizen of heaven. That's where God wants you to spend eternity. You need to start thinking and living that way. But this world is not our home. Our conduct, our choices. The will of God is that we live as if we were already with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm afraid some Christians are like a little boy who was asked the question in Sunday school between two characters that the teacher was speaking about. She was speaking about the rich man and Lazarus. And she talked about how Lazarus sat outside the rich man's gate, covered with all sorts of sores and begging for food, and the rich man would pass him and not even pay attention to him. As if he didn't even see the man, didn't know that he was there. But he went on living with his riches and his pleasures. But they both died. And as the scripture tells us, they went into eternity. Lazarus went into heaven, and the rich man found himself in hell. And the teacher went into detail trying to describe how that the children understand how terrible that eternity would be. The teacher brought the lesson to the conclusion. He said, now, which would you rather be? Would you rather be the rich man, or would you rather be Lazarus? And one little fellow said, oh, I'd like to be the rich man until I die, and then I want to be Lazarus. You know what? I think there's a lot of Christians that live that way. I want to be the rich man. I want to have all the pleasures now. Oh, but then when it comes to eternity, boy, I want to make sure that I have the outcome of Lazarus. Folks, we don't earn our salvation. Once saved, it's secure. But the fact is, many will have nothing to show for when they stand before the Lord. They're not living for the will of God. They're trying everything in this life to fulfill themselves with the joys of this world. They're not seeking to have the will of God in their life that they might have the joy of the Lord in their life. May the Lord impress upon our hearts that doing the will of God, as Paul said, from the heart, is the key to having the joy of the Lord. John chapter 7, as we close, a couple of verses here in John 7, just to make a point for us as we consider these thoughts on the will of God. Jesus said in verse number 17 of John 7, if any man will to do his will, speaking of God's will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Anyone wills, in other words, is willing to, anyone who wants to do the will of God, and they pursue the will of God, anyone who is in that situation, he shall know the doctrine, whether it will be of God, whether it is of God. I take from that an illustration, what I've tried to bring to your attention. Spoken of earlier in the messages that some are seeking for the will of God for an occupation, for a life's mate, or where they'll live. Some of those finer points of God's will for you as the individual. As I made the point earlier, that's not going to become clear to you if you're not accepting that the will of God is many other aspects that you need to be obeying the Lord with. If you are willing to do the will of God overall, as it's been related to us, then God begins to direct you and point you in the direction of those more specific aspects of God's will. And you know what? Jesus illustrated the very matter of doing the will of the Father in the very next verse, John 7, 18. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, Jesus said. But he that seeketh his glory, speaking of God's glory, he that seeketh his glory that sent me, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. One of the points we made from Jesus' prayer was, it is the will of God that we do, that we glorify God. Even Jesus sought to glorify God. And so the more specifics of the will of God for his Son were made known, were made clear, as Jesus obeyed the will of God. Would you take the sermons, the challenges from John chapter 17, and say to the Lord, Lord, I'll do your will. I see how Jesus prayed for me to be doing the will of God, and I see how John 17 helps me to understand the will of God. In understanding God's will, as I do that, I can be confident that I'll know the finer points. As Jesus said, he will know the doctrine, whether it be of God. And you will know whether it be God's will, who to marry, and where to spend eternity, or where to spend your life as far as living, because you know Christ as your Savior. Shall we take a moment here to close our service, pray together the Lord would have his way in our hearts even this afternoon. Father, we are thankful that we have your word. We have the example of prayer as Jesus communicated as he spoke to the Father. And Lord, as he gave us in this prayer great insight into the will of God for us, may we be found, Lord, obedient to that will. Speak to our hearts through these verses on a continual basis as we review what we've considered, as you bring us to this passage in the future in our reading, maybe other sermons. Lord, may we accept what the will of God is and do it with a willing heart.